listening to Get Sports Radio. All right, welcome in, ladies and gents. It is episode one, the relaunch of your GetSportsInfo.com podcast. I'm Dan Claskins, and wow, happy to be here with you and happy to have you listening in to the podcast. We are back at it, podcasting again. And wow, what a journey it has been over the last, 10, 12 years of all of this. And podcasting totally blowing up right now and looking forward to getting into it again here at GetSportsInfo.com. And we are going through a little bit of an evolution right now. I have a lot of things shifting in my life, both personally and professionally. And one of the things I wanted to readjust was what we are doing here at GetSportsInfo.com. And for those of you that are a little bit new to the audience, GetSportsInfo is a site I founded all the way back in 2003, just prior to that season. And it just started out as a fantasy football website. And at that time, we also launched a business, GetSports Enterprises. And didn't really know what we were doing, but things took off pretty quick in the fantasy space. And we continued to do fantasy football rankings there, put great content, and really just a whole gamut of stuff that went down those first couple years as we tried to figure out what made the sense the most. We had other parts of the business start to take off. We got in our launched our high school site, Tri-State Football, and through it all, Get Sports Info maintained a nice following here in Cincinnati, where I'm based out of. I actually live in Northern Kentucky. It's where I'm broadcasting at you from right now. But I'll tell you, it was interesting, as the site has gone through its different evolutions, a lot of different bloggers and writers. Going into this 15th season, I really wanted to take it to what I'm most passionate about, and that is radio, podcasting, the things that talking football, talking sports with you. And it's a great opportunity for me to now do it on a weekly basis, year-round. We're pretty fortunate to have a lot of opportunities during football season, including entering the sixth year on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. That's going to be coming back. I'm sure we'll be hitting the airwaves, as always, right around the 4th of July with that, along with other things, but really connecting with you, the audience, talking to some of my friends in fantasy, and really tapping into this passion is what this is all about. And with that, we're transitioning GetSportsInfo.com to where it will still have a blog. We'll still have some stuff up there. Obviously, I will also have some announcements coming on what we'll be doing with rankings and fantasy articles. But for now, just know that GetSportsInfo is where you're going to go to get all of our great sound, hear some of the great guests, and many things I have in store. I plan on doing this on a pretty frequent basis. We will certainly get into a lot of different topics. It will be mostly NFL and fantasy football focused because, let's face it, that's what I live, that's what I breathe, that's what I like to talk about. For this first episode, I'm flying solo, too, because at the end of the day, this is about me tapping into my passions, and I thought with a fresh start, it'd be a good place to do it with just myself, explaining, what I envision, giving you a little bit of fantasy take. We're going to get into some things on this episode, including looking at some of your final free agent takes. A lot of moves. I've written some blog posts about it, but really been sort of slow at posting a lot of content at GetSportsInfo.com. So far, my rankings, definitely going to get into some early season rankings. I was on the Fantasy Pros podcast and talking with Tags and Bobby Sylvester about some of the early consensus rankings where guys I like. So we're going to look at that today. We definitely want to get into that. Plus, we're going to get into what I like to call hashtag my one more thing. That's hashtag my, the number one, more thing. And at the end of each podcast episode, I'm going to sort of sound off on something sports related. It's not always going to be fantasy, though, or football necessarily. Just things that, as a sports fan, that are on my mind. Sometimes we'll even go off the beaten path of sports and get into other things I'm interested in, like music and craft beer and TV shows and other topics that I think you might be interested in too. Always you can get involved in the podcast. I have a lot of cool stuff coming up. A lot of things we're working on as we evolve here a little bit. And my goal is to engage you, the listeners, because what makes great podcast is a conversation. We'll have some of you on the air throughout the podcast, along with, I said, some friends in fantasy, as well as some cool tools out there. But you can always engage in social media too. As I said, at Dan Klaskins on Twitter, at Get Sports Info. You can like us on Facebook there as well. In terms of podcasting, why am I calling this the relaunch? It's actually a very interesting story because, you know, as I talked about just there a minute ago with GetSportsInfo.com, in 2003, we launched that that website, and it was less than a year later that we launched a sister site, at that time, Get Sports Radio. And back then in our Covington, Kentucky incubator called the Madison E-Zone, we set up this little office, literally a closet, which was the home of Get Sports Radio. We had a lot of great stuff going on, including a daily live show, The Daily Dose. Hats off to and kudos to my guy Nick Wesendarp, the audio master, my partner at Get Sports, Greg Shoemaker, and a cast of many. We actually had several different podcasts that we did on that site. And back then it wasn't as easy. And they actually had things that were called iPods. Like iPods were new with the little dial there. And it was those podcasts that really helped us hone our skills and as we found our place and what it was from a business standpoint. And obviously we carried that over to the high school stuff. But as I picked up more and more local radio experience and television opportunities, we continued to do podcasts. And when we moved to Cold Spring at the rentatoday.com studio, it was a podcast that we did out of that closet that literally was a springboard to me getting an opportunity to be on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. And wow, what has podcasting become since? Now, here we are, 98 million people listening to podcasts in the United throughout the world all the time. And, the actual numbers are staggering. And what, you know, podcasts, we live busy life. So this gives us an opportunity to listen to things on the go. You can download it and listen to it. You can obviously listen to it online. You can listen to it in the car and with your mobile phones, just like fantasy sports in general. It's going everywhere. So if you like what you hear today, you want to get involved, subscribe to my podcast here, the Get Sports Info Podcast. You can do so on iTunes, Google Play. We're going to be out on, we got our SoundCloud page up there. We'll have some cuts there as well. Going to be getting into some Facebook Live. So a lot of great stuff coming our way with that. In terms of this podcast, this opening drive, this opening segment, I usually am going to hit on like the news and notes of the day inside the world of football and fantasy football with the opening drive for you. I also, as I mentioned, will get into friends and fantasy. So each episode, I hope to feature a guest that's either somebody inside the industry that I respect quite a bit, or maybe it's even a fantasy foe, somebody that I've been playing the game with for a while, guys I talk to normal just about fantasy football. We'll be doing that as well. And then I will be doing breakout podcasts too. Like, this is fantasy football, this is NFL, but don't kid yourself. I will have some breakout shorter edition podcast on special topics. I'm sure we'll have a Kentucky Derby episode coming up because it's one of my favorite things to talk about there, break it out. Things that, you know, if you're not part of the fantasy world, maybe might interest you. And as we go along, don't be surprised to see that as well. But with all that said, I'm really looking forward to diving into some of the free agent takes. I haven't had a chance to sound off on them. So let's transition right to that right now. And wow, what a free agency period it was around the league. And not even free agency. We've seen some trades go down. I'm sure as the draft approaches, we're just a couple weeks from it right now, we're going to continue to see more trades go down. But how about the trade of the Patriots going out, giving up a first-round pick and then some to acquire Saints wide receiver Brandon Cooks? I know this is one that certainly opened up some eyeballs in the fantasy space. And I'll tell you, this was one of those trades that at first I was a little skeptical of it, and I still am a little bit. I'm probably a little dialed back on Cooks and some, and we'll get into that in a minute. But I also just think that there's so many weapons up in New England right now. And clearly, Tom Brady, even as he approaches age 40, this guy is going nowhere in terms of declining skill set. But you got Gronk coming back. obviously, the Patriots like to get the tight ends involved. They've still got Julian Edelman. They've got Malcolm Mitchell, a rising young receiver. Some running backs like a James White, like a Deion Lewis, like a newly acquired Rex Burkhead, who we'll get in here in a minute. But I don't know. Cooks has actually never played a game under 53 degrees in temperature during his career. Now he's going up here into New England. So there are some question marks that I have around him. And in particularly, I mean, the number of shares. So let's just say in New England's offense, on average, I did some digging. You're talking about 35 targets a game on average that Tom Brady dishes out to his receiver. So even if Cooks gets 20% of these shares, you're talking about 7 targets a game. And even then, with so many weapons, that is far from a given. I do think he's going to have some explosive days. Definitely am going to be looking at him in a lot of my early MFL 10 drafts I'm starting to fire up right now. And I definitely think that in terms of just football and what his presence will do for this offense, that is scary good. But trying to pinpoint from a fantasy perspective, where do I sit on Brandon Cooks? And as I look down, I've currently got him number 23 in my rankings. I'll be updating these rankings after the draft. So by the time you're listening to this, depending on where it's at, that could change. But you know, I've got him much lower than the expert consensus, 9 spots lower to be exact. I still think Cooks is much more a wide receiver 2 than a wide receiver 1. Now, maybe I'll move him up some as the season gets closer. I mean, I can certainly see him getting into my top 16, 17 receivers if the hype is there. But Julian Edelman's still in play. I think he's going to take his targets. As I said, Gronk, some of these other talented weapons, also going to come into the mix. Let's get into some of the other actual true free agent signings, and let's stay at that receiver position because it's pretty interesting. I think that's where the biggest splashes were made. Certainly, that's where teams were spending money. And to me, the 4 big names out there at the position to change uniforms during this past month include Alshon Jeffrey going from the Bears to the Eagles. Brandon Marshall, he's staying in New York, but he'll be taking off his Jets uni and exchanging it for a Giants uniform. DeSean Jackson, he's going down to Tampa Bay. I'll talk a lot about that move here in a bit. And Terrell Pryor, here's a guy, had a bust-out breakout season as a Cleveland Brown and that transition to the position at receiver from playing college quarterback, finally coming into fruition here. And he is now getting paid. Terrell Pryor landing in D.C. where they lost DeSean Jackson, I just mentioned. Also Pierre Garçon. Before what I think, I actually offered up a Twitter poll back in mid-March on my Twitter account, at Dan Claskins, and asked my followers, which of these free agent receivers excites you the most from a fantasy perspective? And listing the top 4 there of Jeffrey, Marshall, and Jackson, and Pryor was actually Terrell Pryor. That Terrell Pryor that came in 30% of the vote of the 342 votes that came in that 24-hour poll I opened up. I do polls all the time, by the way, because I like to get a pulse of the people. And so definitely follow me at Dan Claskins. You can participate in that too. But I got to say, I was very shocked to think that Pryor took 30% of the vote. Jeffrey and Marshall finishing at 26% apiece. DeSean Jackson, a distant 4th, receiving 18% of that vote. But let me quickly give my takes on some of these guys, and let's start with Jeffrey. I mean, here's a guy, huge seasons in 2013 and 2014. You look at that 2013 campaign, he had 89 catches, 1,421 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was followed up in 14 by 85, 11, 33, and 10. Injuries have been there, though, the past couple years, and that's why he finds himself in this one-year get-paid play in Philly. I'm a free agent again next year. So he's got to stay healthy. Durability a concern, but this is a big boost. The Eagles also getting Torrey Smith in here, which now allows them to put Jordan Matthews in the slot. You got an emerging tight end in Zach Ertz and a second-year quarterback in Carson Wentz, who's seeing his stock rise on almost a daily basis. Brandon Marshall, here's another receiver on the move. I got to say, back in January when I did the SiriusXM draft, I spent a 7th-round pick, put Marshall in as my wide receiver 3 or 4. I can't remember off the top of my head. I think he was my 4th receiver. I'm a little disappointed, though. Why the move away from the Jets, where the quarterback situation is a mess, is a plus in his fantasy stock. It didn't go up or move the needle as much as I had hoped, because now he finds himself in a Giants offense where he'll certainly be second fiddle behind a guy named Odell Beckham Jr. Marshall himself, he turns 33 at the start of the season. He's coming off a campaign which he ranked top 10 in red zone targets among receivers. Targeted 28% of the Jets' red zone pass attempts last year, and I look for that number to increase with Eli Manning. That big frame of Marshall, I mean, 6'4", 230, you compare that to the 5'11 ODB and the 5'10 Sterling Shepard, and I think Marshall is that guy in the red zone, but the targets are going to be on a decline. Is his skill set starting to decline? I look for a bounce back season from Brandon Marshall compared to what we saw from a very disappointing 2016 campaign, but I don't think we'll ever see Brandon Marshall get back into that top 15 range at receiver. He's a guy that I certainly could live with as a top 25 wideout, but I think the ceiling is pretty low on him this year, and things really have to go right there. So maybe not the upside I'm looking for, depending on what spot of the draft I would get him at, but probably a mid-rounder at best. DeSean Jackson, let's talk about him for a minute, because here you got a guy that, talk about a perfect fit for a system. You look at this Bucs offense, you're seeing a guy like Jameis Winston, keeps getting better and better, and we'll talk about him a little bit in my early ranking segment, but I'll tell you, DeSean Jackson is a player that is going to be able to spread this field, make some big plays. Jameis Winston attempted 35 passes per game last season with only two instances of fewer than 30 attempts in a given game. So you look, the Bucs, Doug Martin is available for most of the season. The Bucs had him available most of the season last year and still only threw 57% of the time. So Jackson is a guy that really can get down the field. Average yards per reception last year, 18 yards there. So I still don't think DeSean Jackson's much more than a fantasy wide receiver three, another boomer bust, another good guy in your MFL 10 lineup. But his presence is going to help Jameis Winston big time. It's going to help open things up for Mike Evans and make this Bucs, I mean, this could be one of the more exciting passing offenses in Bucs history with the third year now quarterback Jameis Winston here coming in and finally getting some weapons around him. You still got that favorable schedule. You're going to be playing some shootouts with Atlanta, with the Saints. So I'm all in on that being a good move, but I don't think it's one that's going to shake the value too much of Mr. DeSean Jackson. The Terrell Pryor thing, I mean, I do like Pryor. I've got him a little bit higher than a lot of people right now. He's inside my top 20 currently. That could change after the draft. That's about five spots higher than the expert consensus ranking. I don't think he's going to match last year's numbers, but I do expect you got to like an improvement with the fact he's playing in an offense in D.C. now where you've got Kirk Cousins, barring a draft day trade, which still could come. Jordan Reed's there. If he can stay healthy, obviously a factor. Jameson Crowder's proven his worth. The youngster Josh Jackson basically wrote off his rookie campaign with injuries. If he can get going, this is a young offense with Jay Gruden calling the shots. I like his chances. I think Pryor is a guy that people are just dismissing what he did last year. I'm a believer. How much remains to be seen, but I think he's going to be a low-end wide receiver too, no matter how you slice it in the season ahead. So other free agent signings. We talked a lot about some receivers here and, you know, just working our way down the list. Let's talk briefly about Pierre Garçon before I transition to running backs. Garçon, here is a guy that, I mean, last time he had Kyle Shanahan calling his plays back in D.C., he led the team or the league in receiving receptions that year. So I definitely think him going to San Francisco, despite the pathetic quarterback situation there for the 49ers right now, with Shanahan there, Garçon is going to be a great value. I've got him at 39 right now in the ranks. I think he's going to be a surprising wide receiver three value that's going to be there at a nice spot in the draft just because of the fact he plays for the 49ers. But let's face it, that defense is pretty terrible too. So San Fran, they're going to be throwing it early and often, especially late in games. I like Carlos Hyde there as a running back. I think Garçon gives them a legitimate target in this passing game that so desperately needed one. I jumped the ship a little bit, dropping the Eddie Lacy, because he's the first running back I wanted to talk about. And you look at Eddie Lacy, I mean, this guy has been a huge disappointment. I mean, let's call it what it is with Eddie Lacy. Disappointing to say the least, but it is interesting he ends up in Seattle. I was really wanting to get on the CJ Pro Size train in the PPR formats. I still am willing to take a risk, have him slightly higher than most right now, but I'll tell you flat out, Eddie Lacy going to Seattle will not totally sink CJ ProSize's value. I do think it hurts Thomas Rawls' value quite a bit because I view these guys as, you know, very similar style running backs, if you will. So I think that's something that obviously you're going to want to sort of take a good look at and see how it does. But, I mean, the fact they gave Lacy a one-year deal, $5.5 million contract, that includes a $3 million guaranteed bonus there. And, I mean, that tells me they're committed to him. I do think he's a pounder. I think he still faces the same problem the running backs did last year in Seattle, though, and that's playing behind this dismal offensive line. So, I don't know. In standard leagues, I guess I can get a little bit more excited about Lacy, but I probably won't end up with too many shares, and I probably won't end up with too many shares of Latavius Murray either. He was signed by Minnesota. I mean, he did have a nice little stretch run there in 2014, came up to that full-time role in 2015. Just didn't really impress me, though. It's more of a volume thing. I'm not thinking that 18 touchdowns over the past 2 years is an indicator of this guy's level as a running back. And, I mean, here's Jerick McKinnon on his own team, I think, is a better overall player. And hopefully Minnesota can get it worked out in there. But the biggest problem is that offensive line. I mean, you're talking about an offensive line that only allowed 1.9 yards before initial contact last season. That's the second worst in the league. And I'll tell you right now, I think Latavius Murray will be a guy that will definitely be a little overdrafted and a guy that I likely, you know, generally not get too excited about as we get into some of those different takes there. Outside of that, I mean, it was a pretty weak period. You know, a couple other rookie running back, or excuse me, free agent running back signings of interest. Danny Woodhead, obviously here, going to the Ravens and coming off a pretty major injury last year, but on the heels of that, they announced a 4-game suspension to Kenneth Dixon. Dixon I liked a lot. I think Woodhead's going to be a sneaky value guy. I mean, a couple years ago, he was valuable in all formats. I still think he'll be more valuable, obviously, in PPR leagues, but not a guy I'm going to ignore altogether. I'm still really trying to find a good spot, a good home for him, where he fits in my rankings. And like I said, I like him a little bit better in PPR leagues right now. That's a given. Got him at 22, right, as I talk to you here in PPR leagues. But number 30, taking a dip down there. I do expect he'll carry the major part of the workload, at least during those first 4 games. And then it's all a matter of how Dixon works himself back into the mix. They, you know, Terrence West did all right. You know, his role remains to be seen. Will they do something in the draft? A lot of questions ahead for the Baltimore Ravens and their running game, to say the least. And Rex Burkhead, former Bengal, interesting enough, signs with New England, and New England dance getting ready to dance with LeGarrette Blount again. No other team in football really showing Blount the interest, so I'm not going to be surprised at all to see him and his 18 touchdowns return to New England, which will muddy the situation. But it is interesting to note that when they signed Rex Burkhead, the Patriots signed him to a one-year deal worth $3.15 million. The contract includes a $1.1 million signing bonus, a $1.8 million base salary, and $250,000 in per-game roster bonuses. And to put that contract a little bit into perspective for you, $315 million, Burkhead, the highest-paid Patriots running back since Fred Taylor, got $2.7 million in 2010. And over the last 6 seasons, the Patriots haven't paid a running back $2-plus million. And, you know, you look at the $3.5 million cap hit in the year ahead, that's also more than Deion Lewis and James White make combined. And it's 3 times the amount the Patriots gave LeGarrette Blount in 2016 when they gave him just barely over $1 million before he hit all his various incentives. So I think Burkhead's going to have a role on this football team, but wow, you talk about a mess that is muddled. the Patriots running backs as muddled as I've ever seen. And, you know, so those are some of the big free agent takes. There are others. You can check out all my rankings right now. They're updated at Fantasy Pros and, of course, GetSportsInfo.com. Check out my Twitter account as well, as we'll update those. Don't really plan on doing a lot of updates on the rankings until after the draft. And like I said, I've got some other big announcements ahead on some of our content plans for fantasy stuff that we'll be updating you on in future episodes. Speaking of the rankings, just a real quick look, expert consensus rankings. Just going through some positions, guys I am liking better than the expert consensus rankings as of this taping. Kirk Cousins at quarterback, +4. I got him at 7, the expert consensus ranking at 11. We talked about Winston, what the arrival of DeSean Jackson does to an offense. You're talking about a guy that started off his career with back-to-back 4,000-yard seasons. I think the addition of Jackson's enough for me to put him in my top 12. That's QB1 range. That's 3 spots higher than the expert consensus. And I got Ryan Tannehill, number 20, which isn't a big boast of confidence, but still 4 spots ahead. And it's the weapons there. And they added Julius Thomas this offseason as well. We'll see if his reunion with Adam Gase can bring anything. A lot of young, talented receivers. Miami re-signing Kenny Stills, keeping Jarvis Landry in the mix. A lot of good things going on there in year number 2. Let's get into the running backs quickly. Just right now, guys I like better. I got Woodhead +7. So 7 spots ahead of the expert consensus, even 30 in my standard ranks. Frank Gore, the old guy, I've written him off, but currently he's sitting at number 21. That's 5 spots higher than his 26 expert consensus ranking. And Bilal Powell, 7 spots ahead. Finished big. I really think Forte is going to fall off the cliff. I think Bilal Powell is the deal. And I think the Jets realized it down the stretch. So he's offering great value right now. At receiver, Jeffrey and Pryor, 4 and 5 spots ahead. I got Jeffrey number 10, Pryor number 19 currently in my rankings. And then even Pierre Garçon, 10 spots ahead of the expert consensus. I had him at 39. The other experts at Fantasy Pros at 49. And Willie Snead, here's a guy. We talk about Cooks and his impact going to New England. What about the impact it leaves on the Saints? I love now Michael Thomas even more than I did before. He's in my top 10, but how about Willie Snead? I bumped him up to 33. I think he is a wide receiver 3 for sure now that Cooks is out of the mix. He's had some big spots in the tight end. Jack Doyle, Julius Thomas, Austin Hooper. Guys I like 4 spots or more in the expert consensus rankings. Be sure to check out all my latest rankings at Fantasy Pros. All right, we've been going hard and long, building up some stamina here in episode number 1, flying solo. Before we start bringing in our friends and fantasy segments next week. But right now, we're going to end this episode, where I plan to do each and every single week. It's what I like to call my one more thing. That's hashtag my, the number one, more thing. I want to get your take, too. You can check out GetSportsInfo.com, the blog there. We are going to definitely set this out a little bit more, play this sound clip, and I hope to get some of your interactions on Twitter, at Dan Klaskins, on Get Sports Info on Twitter, at Get Sports Info there as well. And this week, my hashtag one more thing is going to deal with favorite sports places. Where in the world are your favorite sports places? And I do this for a couple reasons here. I mean, first and foremost, one of my favorite sports places is opening up this week. That is Keeneland Racecourse in Lexington, Kentucky. As a Kentuckian, I love the thoroughbreds. Don't get to go out to the track too much, but man, there is no better time than April and October in the Bluegrass State, the great Commonwealth of Kentucky, than you go to at Keeneland Racetrack. Especially love it in the fall. I mean, people get dressed up. There's tailgating. We take these huge buses down there, and it is just beautiful. They only run Wednesday through Sunday, 4 weeks in April, 3 to 4 weeks in April, 3 to 4 weeks in October. So you're looking less than, 30 dates the whole year you can get out there. But if you ever get the chance, Keeneland is awesome. It's opening. I can't wait to get down and check it out later in the month. But also the idea of favorite sports places. My brother Mike just recently got to cross off a bucket list item of him, of his own, I should say. And that was making that lifelong dream trip to go to Ireland. And it was a bucket list of our dad as well. And Chief, Chief, he passed. It's been about 7 years ago now, which is hard to believe for me. But one of his things was he wanted to be cremated. He wanted not to necessarily end up in the ground, but you know, he wanted to be cremated, and he wanted to have his ashes and spread, and all of us to do with what we want. And you know, regardless of your opinion of that, the idea of having your ashes out there and tying it into this topic of favorite sports places, and mine being Keeneland, and I would say, if I were to make the decision that my dad did and also to be cremated, Keeneland Racecourse is a place where I would want some of my ashes to reside. It was funny because my dad always wanted to go to the Kentucky Derby with me. My wife and I, we went down to the Derby 6 years in a row, sitting in a private room at a private table, and this amazing experience. And Chief always wanted to go, but I could never get an extra seat at the table. And just a few months after he passed, I went to the Derby in that room, and I took a little of his ashes with me. Had my best sports gambling day of my life, filling out tax forms. My wife also was hitting. It was amazing. And then after an amazing day, an amazing Derby day, and after the track had cleared out, we made our way down to that Churchill Downs mud, and we sprinkled a little bit of Dad's ashes there. And then we later, you know, we took a trip as a family and to his favorite place down in Merle's Inlet and spread some there. And then my brother Mike, now 7 years later, his trip to Ireland, took a little of Chief with him and put him in a place he always wanted to be. So my question to you is, what's your favorite sports places? Where would you want your sports ashes spread, if you will? And, you know, for me, Keeneland obviously tops the list. I mean, you could go to some hometown places as well. I mean, I'm a Cincinnati fan, so I would love to say Great American Ballpark would certainly want to be up there. Obviously, you know, we like the Bengals too, so any of your favorite team stadiums make sense. I've been to 16 of the 30 team stadiums, actually 18 of the 30 team stadiums, if you count the two I went without my wife, Kel, and we were trying to get to 30 together. So we got 14 more on our list. And outside of my own hometown team, I mean, there are some cool places. Wrigleyville, obviously, a unique experience. Great history there, as was Fenway. But I think my favorite one was Safeco Field. And I've told Kel, I was like, if some reason I croak before we get to all 30, you got to finish the route. And on all the remaining teams, take a little piece with me as well. So Keeneland would definitely be on my list of favorite sports places. I would definitely put the Great American Ballpark. I'm interested, where would you call your favorite sports place? Where might you want your sports ashes spread? Let me know. Hashtag my, the number one, more thing. That's my one more thing. On Twitter, at Dan Claskins. Check out my complete list of my favorite sports places on the blog at GetSportsInfo.com. I'm fresh out of time. I'm fresh out of breath. But, man, I'm happy to be talking with you again. We're going to be coming at you as frequently as possible between now and the start of the season, and weekly once we get there. Lots of great topics ahead. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GetSportsInfo, at Dan Claskins, and you get the home of the podcast, always, GetSportsInfo.com. Would appreciate you subscribing as well to the podcast and your favorite listening place there. Until next time, I'm Dan Claskins. You've been listening to GetSportsInfo.com podcast. Get sports.